welcome to the holiday edition of Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The following shows were part of our annual Christmas party in December. We broadcast a live show to our compatriots in Kentucky, and they broadcast one back to us in Seattle. Ethel and Albert, written by Peg Lynch, continues to captivate all who listen to them. This script was the first one I ever heard back in 1997. No, it's not by the actors I heard do it that time, Harley Bear and Peg Lynch. But I think Marge Lutton and Kim Turner do a stand-up job.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation from the private life of Ethel and Albert, written by Peg Lynch, with Marge Lutton as Ethel and Kim Turner as Albert. The small problems in everyday life are familiar to all of us, and especially around Christmas time, when last-minute things that must be done really pile up. We're beginning to wonder what is meant by having a merry, merry Christmas, because right now nothing is much fun or even very merry. Albert is in the living room right now. He's been struggling to put up the Christmas tree for the last hour.
Ethel! Ethel! Come here! I've got the tree up. What a job! Ethel, come here! What are you doing? Come here!
Yes, I'm coming. I'm making Christmas cookies, and that's what I've been doing. I told you. Well, here I am. What?
I've got the tree up. Boy, what a pain in the neck. The trunk's crooked. There was this big gnarled knot in the side there that I had to saw off, and then I couldn't get it in the tree stand. Of course, I had to take off the bottom branches, but I finally got it fixed. What do you think? Pretty nice, huh?
It's crooked.
Aw, come on now.
I'm sorry, dear, but it is. You just asked me, and it is. Come here.
Well, I don't...
Come here. Now, stand over here. Look at it now. See? It's leaning way over, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well, yes. Yes, but maybe nobody will notice it.
It's leaning over like the Tower of Pisa. What do you mean, not notice it?
Well, gosh, I'm tired of fussing with the darn thing.
Well, didn't the tree seem bushier when we picked it out?
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to saw another chunk off there.
Oh, no, don't cut it off anymore. It'll look like a house plant.
I don't know.
Christmas trees seem to get a whole different personality when you get them in the house, don't they?
Yeah, well, don't forget we were freezing cold when we picked it out.
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, forget the tree for a few minutes. Take a breather. A couple of things I want to talk to you about anyway. Your mother phoned today, and she said don't let Albert give me any more bath powder for Christmas.
Okay, I'll get her perfume.
Your mother doesn't use it. She opens it, she smells it, then it sits for 5 years waiting for a special occasion to use, and by that time it's no good.
Well, I'll get her some of that fancy soap. She uses soap, I know.
I can't seem to get it through your head. She doesn't want those things. You gave her a huge bottle of very expensive body lotion. She didn't even know what to do with it.
Why didn't you tell her?
I did. I told her to rub it all over her body, so she did. Then she took a bath to get it off.
Sounds like her. Well, I gotta get her something.
Well, of course you do, and I put the list right on the corner of the desk. I told you. I said, here is her list. Here it is. See, I'm sure I told you 100 times over the years, your mother doesn't want anything that's not on her list. Her Christmas list. Now, these are the things that she wants.
Okay. What does she want?
Number one on the list is a really good paring knife.
I'm not getting my mother a paring knife for Christmas.
Now, that's what she wants, a really good paring knife.
Well, what is a really good paring knife?
Well, something that's not 69 cents. You know, go to Car Hardware and ask the clerk.
Well, I don't like giving my mother a dinky little paring knife.
Oh, honey, don't give me a hard time. It's what she wants, and she likes to think that you got it, or I would do it. Now, look, let's make it a stocking present, okay? Also, she'd like a really nice bird feeder.
Bird feeder?
Mm-hmm.
6 feet of snow out there, and she wants a bird feeder?
Well, that's when you want it, in the wintertime. Feed the hungry birds. And she wants one with a deck. Go to the garden and gift place, and that's on...
With a deck?
Yeah, a deck. Deck. A deck, like people have outside their houses. She wants a bird feeder with a nice deck around it. She does not want a feeder that just has those tiny, thin perches. Your mother wants a deck that the birds can land on and keep their footing.
What in Sam Hill are you talking about?
I know what your mother means. The birds come swooping down to get a bit of bird seed, and those little perches are so dinky. Birds land on them, and they can't seem to get their footing, and then they seem so unsteady on their pins, and your mother worries the birds are going to fall off.
For heaven's sake.
What's the matter?
Well, haven't we got enough to think about with the family coming in 4 days, and you babble on about birds toppling over?
Well, I know what she means. Oh, never mind. Forget the bird feeder. I'll get it. I know exactly what she wants. Oh, I forgot. I forgot to order a bigger turkey. You know how everyone likes to pick at it when it's cold. What do you think? Should I get a bigger one?
Fine, fine. Whatever you think. It's okay.
I meant to do that today, and I'll do it first thing tomorrow. I haven't finished writing her Christmas cards. Have you looked at any of the cards we've gotten? No, you never do, you know. You never,
Yes, I do. In fact, I just looked at one. It was signed Sarah Bernhardt. I thought she was dead.
Oh, that's Jean O'Brien's cat. The cat always does her cards.
Oh, that's real cute.
We got Christmas cards from 3 cats this year and 1 dog.
That is just adorable.
Well, listen, people get a little cute and silly about their pets, just as we are about Brownie.
Just as you are.
Well...
About Brownie. I haven't noticed that Brownie is writing any of our Christmas cards.
I haven't noticed that you're writing any of them either.
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Oh, yes, you did walk into it. I don't know why husbands always think that the writing of cards is up to the wife. Christmas cards, wedding presents, birthday gifts, buying and wrapping and mailing. You know, it's always the wife.
I thought...
Who's the one?
You wanted to discuss
Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. And what?
What we have left to do.
Okay, now we have to figure out where everyone's going to sleep. I know one thing. Your sister's not going to like bunking down on a pull-out bed.
Well, that is just too bad. We're certainly giving our folks and Aunt Eva the best bed, and it's not going to hurt Florence to sleep on a pull-out.
I hope she helps a little with the cooking and the dishes.
Well, you know Florence.
Yes, I know Florence. That's what I'm talking about. Every meal she jumps up and says, oh, I ate too much. I think I better go run around the house 3 times. And she goes out for a long walk until she thinks the dishes are done.
Yeah, I know, I know.
Or if it's bad weather, she disappears into the bathroom.
Yeah, look now.
Your sister never lifts a finger. She never helps with anything.
I know, I know.
Why didn't your mother ever say anything to her?
Oh, good Lord, Ethel. Now, don't start anything. This year, let's have a really nice Christmas where nobody gets mad or has hurt feelings.
Who's the one who generally blows his stack and tells Florence off?
Little old me.
Oh, right. Ah, well, we'll just have to remember that it's Christmas. We're all on edge. There's so much to do. Really, it's a wonderful time of year, isn't it? And as soon as we get the tree decorated, the presents wrapped, and the family starts arriving, and I've got Christmas music on, oh, I really do get sentimental at Christmas time.
You're sentimental all December.
I know.
Singing Jingle Bells and Silent Night while you lug all the decorations down from the attic.
I know.
And in January, you're lugging everything back up and screaming, never again, never again.
Never again. I've had it, I've had it. I know.
You plan to decorate the tree tonight?
Well, I hope so, as soon as we get back from the church pageant. I'm taking the cookies over. They're going to serve cookies and hot chocolate. Uh-oh. I'll tell you what happened last night at the church pageant. Honestly, those church pageants seem to be jinxed. Something always happens.
Who's this Christmas card from?
What?
Harriet and Bill Dawkins, Minneapolis.
Oh, I went to school with her. You wouldn't know her anyway. About 2 years ago, they had the nativity pageant. They had 23 wise men. And
there were not more than 10, were there?
10? What do you mean not more than... There were only 3. We 3 men of Orient are, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Sunday school had so many children, they all wanted to be in the pageant, so Mrs. Willoughby announced there'd be a sort of a group of wise men coming from the East. Sort of a cook's tour, I think. And all 23 were told to bring a peasant for the baby Jesus, and one kid brought his two white mice, which got away, and needless to say, the audience rose to its feet with screams and shuffling of chairs.
Oh, for Pete's sake, those little mice were perfectly harmless.
Now, a lot of people are scared of mice. I'm scared of spiders. Others hate snakes. Anyway, in these pageants, there were never enough speaking parts to go around. Mothers are complaining and the kids are in tears. He's got six lines, I only have one or none at all.
Who are Nancy and Bill Davidson?
We live next door to them in our first apartment. Are you listening?
Hey, look, a card from my old football pal. Just signs his name. Doesn't write a thing so I'd know what he's doing.
I know. This year, Barbara Jean Johnson is Mary. Well, she put a pillow under her costume, tied it to her stomach, came downstairs to where her dad was eating dinner, and she said, "I'm pregnant!" Well, her dad nearly choked to death on his pork chop.
How old is she?
Oh, she must be about 9 or 10, something like that.
Pregnant at 10?
I knew you weren't listening. She's Mary.
Married at 10? Ye gods, what are you talking about?
You pay more attention. Mary. The name Mary?
Mary who?
I don't know what her last name was. I'm talking about Mary and Joseph. You know, the parents of Jesus? I don't think they had a last name. Carpenter. You want to call them Mary and Joseph Carpenter?
All right.
Would that make you feel better?
I'm sorry. Look, you said I never look over the Christmas cards, so now I am.
Well, now...
All right. Sorry. Go on. Is there more to your story?
Oh, yes. I haven't even gotten to the best part. I'm just leading up to it.
Okay. Go on.
Barbara Jean Johnson now, she's the one who plays Mary, mother of Jesus, tied a pillow to her stomach and announced to her father that she was pregnant?
Yes, and her dad nearly choked on his lamb chop.
Pork chop. Her father was furious and said his daughter was not going on stage with a pillow tied to her.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, exactly. But Barbara Jean's mother thought it was wonderful that it gave a true picture of the whole thing. And then all the mothers took sides. Lots of them didn't think a kid should come on looking big as a house.
What did the minister say?
Well, he was smart. He said, let's just make it a smaller pillow, which is fine. Which was all very well. But you see, some of the smaller kids, the 4 and 5 year olds, the Sunbeams, didn't know what the pillow was for at all. And they began asking questions about babies. And Frances Quimby, Mrs. Know-It-All.
Mm-hmm.
You know Mrs. Quimby, who believes in telling children the facts of life, did so in her Sunbeam class. And some of the mothers were outraged. I mean, the kids.
And all of this is going over at the church.
Yeah. Well, let me get to the point.
Oh, splendid idea.
I was just giving you the background.
I see.
Now, this is what happened last night, opening night at the Christmas pageant at the Congregational Church. You listening?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. When Mary and Joseph came to the inn, now you know the innkeeper's supposed to say, sorry, there's no room at the inn.
Right.
Instead of saying, there's no room at the inn, Bill Anderson, apparently he wanted to pad his part, and he said to Mary and Joseph, oh, you're in luck. We just had a cancellation.
You're kidding.
No, that's what he said. Come on in. And, of course, the audience just howled, and you know how actors are. If they get a laugh, it goes to their head. So Billy started padding his part even more. He said, we have rooms overlooking the park. And you can have the penthouse, and there's a swimming pool up there. And then Joseph said, the little Bradley boy plays Joseph, he's so cute.
And Joseph said what?
Said,
oh, quit laughing. Joseph said what?
Well, as soon as the innkeeper said,
oh, I wish I'd been there. What did he say again?
I didn't bring my swimming suit.
No, Billy Anderson, the innkeeper.
Oh, yeah. You're in luck. We just had a cancellation. Come on in. Well, the minister thought it was very funny. He said, this will be known as the year Jesus was born in the penthouse at the Holiday Inn.
Isn't Billy Anderson's dad manager of the Holiday Inn?
Well, I suppose that's where he got the expressions. But his dad had nothing to do with it. In fact, he was kind of embarrassed.
Golly, kids can be funny.
Cute, wasn't it? Oh, they're darling.
Well, shall I get back to work again on the tree, or shall we eat dinner first?
Oh, fix the tree and then we'll eat. And then we'll get the cookies to the church and decorate the tree when we get home. Casseroles won't be done for, I guess, 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes, something like that.
Well, maybe you could give me a hand here then.
Sure. What'll I do?
Well, if you'd hold the tree, I'm going to try and swivel it a bit and then tighten the screws.
Okay.
Put on those work gloves right there on the couch.
You put those dirty work gloves on my new upholstery?
Yes, I did. You want to make something of it?
Oh, no. No, I don't.
Okay, put on the gloves, honey.
Okay.
Pine needles are so prickly, I don't want you to get your hands all scratched up.
Okay, honey.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I love the smell of pine, don't you?
I've been smelling it for an hour, and I'm not all that wild about it.
Oh, I'm really getting into the Christmassy mood now. Aren't you?
Yeah. Hang on to the tree. Hold it in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
I got it.
Right there.
Is that okay?
Hold it steady while I get down under it again. Steady. You're...
All right. I'm holding it. Oh, something else I was thinking about while I was baking cookies. I'm desperate for an idea for that Gary Dexter in your office. Do you always have to exchange presents with everyone at the office?
Yeah, hold the tree still. Hold on to it.
I'm holding on to it.
I've got to switch positions down here again. Hold the tree up.
I am. Give me an idea for Gary Dexter.
Move your feet a little bit. I'm trying to get under the tree.
Every year.
It's awkward here.
Every year. I go crazy trying to find something for that Dexter fella. What do you get for a bachelor who's middle-aged, lives in a hotel room, doesn't drink or smoke?
You mean it would be better if he drank like a fish and smoked 5 packs a day?
Well, at least I can think of something to get him for Christmas.
You got a point there. Hold the tree more to the left.
Poor Gary. It's the way we always talk about him, isn't it? Poor Gary. He must get lonesome.
To the left.
All by himself.
To the left.
I'm sorry.
Well, hold on to it.
Oh, I am holding it.
No. Try to the right.
Oh, honestly.
To the right.
I am.
The other right. What are you doing?
Well, first you yell left and then you yell right. I don't know which one you're talking about now.
Just hold it still for a minute, doggone it.
Is that all right?
Yes.
All right. Must get so lonesome for him with no family. Here we wake up Christmas morning. We rush to the tree. It's all sparkling with lights and presents. And that poor Gary Dexter wakes up to no tree.
Mm.
Lonely hotel room. Nobody to say Merry Christmas to him. Few presents on his dresser. I mean it. You know it's
Ethel,
just...
Ethel!
It's pitiful, isn't it?
What are you doing? Hang on to the tree. It's wobbling all over.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear.
I'm on my stomach trying to tighten the screws.
I'm just feeling sorry for Gary Dexter.
Hand me the pliers.
Unhappy, sad stories at Christmas.
The pliers.
What the?
The pliers.
I'm looking. I don't see any pliers.
Oh, gads.
Well, I don't see any pliers, dear.
Boy, if you want something done, you do it yourself.
Well, there they are. The pliers are right by your elbow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm going to need some oil for these screws. You know, I think the tree stand gets a little bit rusty during the summer.
It's so sad. I think of Gary Dexter being alone at Christmas. Reminds me of the story of the poor little match girl. How I used to cry over that every year. I mean, I still do.
Pull the tree towards you a little bit.
I just...
Towards you!
Yeah, I am. I can remember when Mother was sitting in the rocking chair and reading to me.
Ethel, pull the tree towards you. What are you doing?
Well, I thought I did. I'm sorry. How's that?
I don't know.
Is that better?
I can hardly turn these screws even with the pliers.
I think it's getting straighter, dear. I can still see the illustrations in the book. Poor little match girl. Nobody buys her matches. She's so cold. No overshoes, no mittens, and little hands and feet are freezing. She looks in the window and everybody else is eating. We're dancing around the singing tree, you know.
Hold the tree steady.
She's so hungry.
Steady, would you please?
And she goes past a bakery store and she looks in at all the cakes and cookies and her little nose is pressed up against the window. She's so cold. She's so hungry.
There, I think I got it. Back out of the way. Out of my way, please, and let me get out. How's it look?
Well, it's fine.
That's fine. I think the tree is straight now, don't you think?
Yes. It seems so.
It was that one twist that I just... What is the matter with you?
Oh, it was just that I...
What are you bawling about, for Pete's sake? Just because the tree was a little bit crooked?
Oh, no.
It's all right. Now stand back and look at it.
Well, it's not the tree. I need a Kleenex. Just thinking of Gary Dexter and that little match girl.
Gary and who? I haven't heard about Gary and any girl. Madge who?
Oh, Madge who? Oh, really?
Where do you hear about Gary Baxter having a lady friend? He's a confirmed bachelor, I thought.
No.
Well, I've worked for that guy every day in my life, and I never heard a word about it. Where do you women pick up all this gossip?
I'm talking about the little girl who died on a Christmas Eve. She went back to her cold, lonely little room and died of starvation, and then... Don't tell me you've never heard about it.
No, I didn't. That's terrible. Where was that?
Forget I said anything. You never heard the story.
No, I never heard about it at all. Was it in the paper?
Well, if I didn't know you so well, I'd think you were putting me on. You know why you don't know a story that everyone else knows? Because your mother told you, but you didn't listen. That's it.
Why would Mother tell me that? She doesn't even know Gary Dexter. How would she know anything about him, let alone that he's got a girl named Madge?
Not Madge. Match. M-A-T-C-H.
That's her last name?
Oh, Albert, now really, dear. I just don't understand you at all.
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
I know. I was feeling sorry for this Gary Dexter fella because he's alone. He never gets any decent food. I just said he was like this little girl who died of starvation.
Why would he die of starvation? He makes more money than I do. You know, honey, I don't know where you get these cockeyed notions.
Well, forget it. We'll have dinner. We'll just have dinner. I'll think of something for you to give Gary for Christmas.
Gary? Oh, didn't I tell you? We voted at the office not to exchange Christmas presents this year.
I bought 11 presents already. I only had Gary left. Now you tell me.
Well, I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
Do you ever hear anything I say? What did you think I was talking about when I was asking you about what to give people?
Well, I don't know. I don't. Gosh, you just said old Gary had a girl. You know I didn't know that.
Oh, you're so helpless. Come on. Come on, wash your hands and come to the table. Honestly, 4 days until Christmas, a million things to do, and you act just like we do.
Old Gary's got a girl, huh? Wait till the guys at the office hear about that. Old Gary.
American Radio Theater has recreated an episode from The Private Life of Ethel and Albert, written by Peg Lynch. Marge Ludden was Ethel, and Kim Turner was Albert, directed by Joy Jackson. I'm Melinda Maines, your announcer. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Dick and Sade, Lodge Brothers Go Christmas Caroling. It is early in the evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room we find Sade and young Rush established on opposite sides of the library table, deep in a game of cards. And as we draw close, we hear Rush saying to his mother,
"You're the old maid again, Mom."
"Looks like I'm the old maid every time."
"Well, 4 times for you, 2 times for me. Deal 'em up."
"I don't think this is a very good game, son. All you do is pick up your cards, sort them out, lay them down again. Not much point to it."
"Oh, my friends and me have a lot of fun playing old maid. The guy that's the old maid has to bend over and grab a hold of his ankles, and then the rest of us take turns hitting him hard as we can with our bare hand.
I hope you don't plan on doing that to me.
Oh, no, Mom. I have no intention on hitting you.
I'm relieved to find that out.
I know. We could kind of gamble. We could use ice cream for the prize.
You know I don't hold with gambling, Rush. Even for ice cream.
Oh, back door. Must be Gov.
Lodge can't be out this soon.
Heidi, hi, hoity ho. A lodge meeting broke up early because some of the folks are going over to the hospital and sing Christmas carols. I'm going to join them.
Vic? Christmas carols? You?
Well, it seems three of the lodge members are patients right now. Bert Wilson's there with a dislocated shoulder, and John Lewis, he's getting treated for his stomach, and Al Freely had his appendix removed at 10 o'clock this morning. We thought we might as well break up the lodge meeting and go over and cheer him up a little.
Lance.
Now, as to the location of his overshoes.
Hall closet, where they always are.
Tell you what you can do, Albert. Run upstairs and get my overshoes. Hall closet, you say, Sade?
Yes.
Rush, take lightning for thy motto. Go.
Okay.
Vic, it's too late to go traipsing all over tonight.
Let me tell you my plan. Only five members agreed. We're going to go over in the slushy alley in back of the hospital.
It's my duty to remind you that it's still 2 weeks to Christmas. I wonder if sick people would appreciate it.
I'm waiting for Ike Niesuffer to pick me up.
Goodness. Vic, he just croaks.
Here they are, Gov.
Thanks a lot, Boxtop. Nevertheless, we will help to swell the merry chorus.
Mr. Niesuffer is absolutely the worst singer in the world. One time, down at the barber shop...
Enough, son. Just for that, you can't come along.
I don't want to come along. If Ike Niesuffer's going to sing, I want to be 40 miles away. More.
Hot reception my idea gets around home. Bet it was the same with Thomas A. Edison when he invented the steamship. People probably stuck out their tongues and cheeks and... Rush, go to the window and see if he's out there.
Who else is going along on this jaunt?
T.V. Abrams.
That man must be 75 years old!
Let me remind you that T.V. was once a vocal soloist on the Jumbo Cross Country Chautauqua.
Probably 40 years ago.
I'll admit... that the other two singers aren't so hot either, Hamilton Richards and Charlie Clyde.
Who did you say was in the hospital? I mean, the lodge members, I mean.
Bert Wilson's there for a dislocated shoulder, John Lewis is getting treated for his stomach, and A.L. Freely had his appendix removed at 10 o'clock this morning.
I really wonder if they would appreciate this thing.
That's what I keep thinking about, son.
Let me give you a rundown of the songs I've picked. Cantique de Note, I imagine. Silent Night, Holy Night, Three Shepherds, I Saw a Gleaming Star in the... May I ask if something is troubling you, Sade?
To think of you singing these songs.
Well, I got a suggestion for a good, lively Christmas carol. It goes like this. Old Santa Claus reindeers are coming over the hill. In a couple of minutes, how they will, our stockings fill. So let us run and jump in bed. Pull up the covers over our head, and the reindeers walk with a gentle tread to bring... There he is.
Oh, good. I've got my overshoes on. I'm ready and raring to go.
Have a good time, Vic.
Oh, knock 'em dead, Gov.
Rush, we shouldn't have made fun of him.
You're right, Mom.
But it was a terrible group of singers.
Ike Niesuffer is absolutely the world's worst singer. One time down at the barbershop, some traveling man was getting a shave and he was telling about some animal he'd seen in the zoo that made a noise so terrible it set your teeth on edge and...
I've heard this story a dozen times.
So. Uh-huh. And Joe the barber bet this guy $1 he would produce a noise worse than any noise the guy had ever heard before. And Joe got Mr. Niesuffer... that was getting the haircut to sing Pale Hands I Loved Beside the Shalimar. Know what happened?
The guy gave Joe $1?
It was so bad that the guy gave Joe $1.
I have to admit, I like to sing Christmas carols. I remember doing it as a girl.
You do?
Uh-huh. Used to be such fun. Bunch of us young people pile in a big sleigh and just tear around the country. We'd stop at every farmhouse we come to, and the farmer and his wife come out laughing, invite us inside, and we'd have hot coffee and donuts, and then jump back in the sleigh again and tear off to the next place.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I used to think it was just beautiful to hear boys and girls singing carols on frosty winter nights when you could see your breath. Of course, a good many times I'd come home with my poor toes about ready to drop off from the cold.
You used to be a pretty fair singer, huh, Mom?
Oh, just fair. Nothing special. Could carry a tune was about all.
Telephone ringing. Telephone ringing.
Hello? Oh, yes, Vic. What? No! You're fooling! Oh, my heaven's sakes alive. Well, where? What? All right. Yes, as soon as I can. Yes, Vic. Goodbye.
Gov?
Yes.
Where is he?
In jail.
No.
Yes. Run up and get my coat and hat. And got a tear down there. And oh, my. Oh, my.
Well, why is he in jail?
Disturbing the peace. being a public nuisance. Yelling outside the hospital and scaring the patients half to death.
Are all the guys in jail?
The whole five. Say, son.
Yeah?
In a little envelope in my top dresser drawer, get the $10 bill that's there. Gov's fine is $9.08.
Mr. Kneesuffer must have been in fine form. We'd like to have heard that concert ourselves, at a safe distance. And so we take leave of Vic and Sade for today. And don't forget, Vic and Sade at this same time tomorrow. You've been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show, Vic and Sade. The script was originally broadcast on December 10th, 1934. In our cast, you heard Pat McNally as Vic, Marge Lutton as Sade, Joy Jackson as Rush. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. I'm Kim Turner, your announcer, and this is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Which concludes our broadcast for the day. Let's listen in to some Christmas music and Christmas programming from the days of old-time radio.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Yes, it's Bing Crosby in the Kraft Music Hall with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Eugenie Baird, the Charioteers, Charles Henderson and Chorus, and in Chicago, the Kraft Choral Group. This is the ninth consecutive Christmas. Bing has sung a Dusty Fidelis here in the Old Kraft Music Hall. As usual, he'll sing it first in Latin, then with everybody joining him in English.
Surely this year, more people than ever before will want to raise their voices in a chorus of Come All Ye Faithful.
Bing, I think it'd be nice if folks at home would join in too, and folks all over the world.
We're certainly counting on them, Ken. The home folks, wherever they may be, to help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste fidelis, laeti triumphantes, venite, venite. not umbi dehe, regem angelorum, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus.
Everybody here in the hall, John Scott, Eugenia Baird, the charioteers, Charles Henderson and the chorus, as well as all you men wherever you are and everybody at home all together in your family's favorite key, once through in English. Thank you very much. I think you folks listening at home, you ought to know where we got our wonderful support in the soprano and the contralto departments this evening. We're proud to welcome to the hall more than 100 young ladies from Uncle Sam's Navy. They're on their way to a preview at Paramount Studio where they will witness a flicker dedicated to their own branch of the service, a little item called Here Come the Waves. I know they'll be captivated by the caperings in this picture of my very good friends Betty Hutton and Sonny Tufts, even if they must suffer through the faintly antique antics of one of the older crooners. Just to kind of limber them up gently for this harrowing experience, we've asked them to visit us first. And here they are. They're looking mighty sharp in their navy blue and white. I'm glad it is we are to see them. With those happy harmonists, the charioteers assisting, we'd like to salute our waves here tonight with that merriest of traditional melodies, Jingle Bells. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells and bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing and scratching all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun to ride and sing sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, we have a lot of fun.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, yeah. That band is really gone, isn't it, Benny?
Oh, let's put them back in the wagon.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Yes, got to associate that melody with everything Christmassy. Our lovely lady with the dulcet delivery, Eugenie Baird, brings us a stardusty ditty now. I Dream of You. Very pretty thing, too.
I dream of you.
One of the season's top tunes, and deservedly so. I think it's number 4 on Mr. MF's LST, I'm Making Believe.
I'm making believe that you're in my arms, though I know you're so far away. Making believe I'm talking to you. Wish you could hear what I say. I'm here in the gloom of my lonely room. We're dancing like we used to do. Making believe is just another way of dreaming. So till my dreams come true, I'll whisper goodnight, turn out the light and kiss the pillow, making believe it's you. My lonely room, we're dancing like we used to do, making believe is just another way of dreaming, so till my dreams come true, I'll whisper goodnight, turn out the light, kiss the pillow, making believe it's you.
Charioteers come to us tonight laden with a message, thus combining happily entertainment and practical purpose. Knock it, men, right in yonder.
Say, Jack, do you know who's beat to his sock?
Who's that, man?
Nobody but me.
What's the matter, bub?
Been loading up a tanker all day long. Convoy's supposed to shove off tonight.
You know one thing, bub? You really talk too much. In fact, your mouth is too big. Now, my advice to you is...
Shh! Don't talk too much. Shh! Don't know too much,
Jack.
Don't be too hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship. Shh! Don't see too much. Shh! Don't jive too much,
boy.
Don't be too hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship.
Now the
walls have ears and the night has eyes.
So
let's be wise and trick those nasty Nazi spies. Shh! Don't talk too much. Shh! Don't know too much,
boy.
Don't be too hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship. Slip of the lip might sink a ship.
Look out, Dipper Lip, don't let nothing slip.
Now the walls have ears and the night has eyes. Don't talk too much,
shh,
don't know too much,
boy.
Don't be too hip, cause slip of the lip might sink a ship. Don't talk too much, don't know too much, be like King Tut.
Now he won't talk, cause that guy's dead.
So keep your big mouth shut.
Fine, men, very lovely indeed, very clever. One of the most welcome canciones to come up from south of the border... is Cuando Vuelva a Tu Lado. Yes, sir, which has been Englished into What a Difference a Day Made.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear. Since you said you were mine, what a difference a day made. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day made, and the difference is you. On your menu, what a difference a day made, and the difference is you.
Today we have the pleasure of again welcoming to the Kraft Music Hall a group of visitors who join us each Christmas season. The Kraft Choral Club. A warm feeling of fellowship is the year-round Christmas spirit characteristic of this group of 70 of our co-workers in the Kraft, Chicago offices and factory. Theirs is the finest sort of appreciation of music, for they come together in their rehearsals because of a spontaneous desire to sing. They enjoy knowing, too, that they are part of an organization dedicated to comradeship of this kind. This Christmastide, the Kraft Choral Club, under the direction of Lou Jacobson, brings us Henry Fry's distinguished arrangement of Beautiful Savior. a Christmas anthem based on a traditional folk melody, the Kraft Choral Club. The Choral Club gives us now the beautiful and thoughtful poem by Florence Tarr, set to music by Peter DeRose, God is Ever Beside Me.
God is ever beside me.
best wishes to the Kraft Choral Group.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
On our fighting front, there are no silent nights, but there are plenty of holy nights. I'm sure that all of us are offering up prayers for the gallant gang of American kids to whom anything that has to do with peace still seems very far away. My own thoughts are a lot humbler than they were last year. I've talked and lived and chowed with these boys, boys whose courage and faith is something that beggars description. Seeing those GIs kneel in a muddy pasture in France brought back to my mind the lines of an old familiar prayer that I'd heard somewhere along the line back home. God grant unto us an early peace and victory founded on justice, and instill into the hearts and the minds of men everywhere a firm purpose to live forever in peace and goodwill toward all.
That's all I've got time for today. Happy holidays from all of us at American Radio Theater.